Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Well,
can
welcome
you hear me now?
To the second half of CCTI, third meeting.
Well, good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We are here to talk about what is needed as it relates to our life coaching and what that looks like as pandemic crisis intervention specialists or life coaches that have been just released with a divine gift and or calling or anointing to minister Christ in the midst of this crisis, in the midst of this pandemic. So I am excited that you all are here with us and have had the opportunity to review at least a few of you all's life assignments. So I want to verify that people actually got the right email to send the life assignments to, because I only received three. So did people do their homework and not send it in or what? Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Yes, I'm here.
Hi, this is Pastor DeMose. Did you get my apostle?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I'm going to talk about yours and Minister Brenda's. Okay, cool. I'm not sure whether people did it or didn't do it, but I only received Sister Loretta, Pastor Deloach, and Minister Brenda's, not necessarily in that order, but I did receive those. Thank you all for what you sent in and just such a honest and an open look. I definitely enjoy going on this journey. I feel like you all took me on a journey with you as you shared. So thank you. Thank you very much for that. And so as it related to some of the things that you turned in your review, I appreciate it from the perspective of going, you know what, I hadn't thought about hating God. I hadn't thought about, you know, maybe God hating me or hating some of the things that I participate in, but just not my response to him. And just realizing that now that I have a response to him, but it actually doesn't always correlate with my responsibility to him, and it definitely doesn't always look like the fact of his response to me or with me, and a great portion of that being that I have been redeemed, I've been regenerated, that, you know, there are aspects of my being that have completely been forgiven. And so as a result, I can live healthy and whole and holistic. I can live practicing my love relationship with him. And as I do that, I don't have to sin. I don't have to get caught up or become a hostage to my own emotion or to the situations and scenarios that are around me. So I definitely appreciate it. You all sharing that, and again, your journey. I believe that that is going to help you as, you know, the Holy Spirit begins to develop in you, as we've been using that word, the curriculum of Christ. But as he begins to develop in you, The direction that he desires for you all to take as life coaches, as these crisis intervention specialists. So again, I want to encourage you all to stay on the path that you're on, to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to shine a light in you so that areas of darkness can be revealed, again, so that as you move forward in a level of victory. So as we move forward on this evening, I believe that everyone has received a series of emails from Overseer Paulette. You've received some emails from Overseer Paulette. And I want to take a few minutes, not very long, but I definitely want to take a few minutes to visit that. Because as we spoke on last week, one of the things we talked about we would be doing this week are taking some tests and drawing some correlations between what we noticed in the test and then just making some evaluations of where people are at, where are we at in this process, and how is it that the Holy Spirit wants to use us, to empower us, to infuse us, to be a blessing to other individuals. And I think one of the ways that we can do that is identifying where we're at in our process and beginning to just, or maybe I should say, revisiting some places. And so you received the email, and one of the emails have a series of tests. It has bare minimum 4 tests: the fear of rejection, the blame game test, the shame test, and fear of failure test. And so the first 4 pages, which is all that I want you to look at, the first 4 pages in the email are those 4 tests. And I don't want you to put a lot of thought into it. I just want you to read it and answer them. I don't want you to ponder over them, because once we begin to ponder over them, we sometimes have a tendency to give the answer that we think it wants and not the answer that is not the most accurate answer for ourselves. And so we want to begin to take a few minutes to take those tests, the first 4 tests: a fear of rejection, blame, shame, and fear of failure. So let's take a few minutes. It's 8:37. Let's take to about 8:43 to complete those tests.
Apostle, this is Pastor Deloach. I didn't get that email. I'm sorry.
Okay. This is Minister Anita. I didn't get that email either.
Neither did I,
this is Minister Brenda, and I didn't get it either.
As we go one at a time, Pastor Deloach, you said you didn't get the email. Evangelist Anita, you didn't get the email. Who else didn't get it?
Loretta
to Brenda.
Sister Loretta Turner, and who else?
Minister Brenda.
Okay, no worries. Simple enough. Everybody take out a piece of paper.
Yes, ma'am.
So when you have this, we'll make it go even quicker. Everyone has a piece of paper?
Yes,
yes.
Wonderful. But at the top of this piece of paper, you're going to put fear of rejection, fear of rejection. And you're going to number it 1 through 10. You're going to number it 1 through 10. All 4 tests have 10 questions. So you can fold the paper in 4 pieces if you want to, however you want to do it. All 4 tests have 10 questions. All 4 tests have 10 questions that you will be answering, and you will be answering them on the scale of 1 to 10. No, excuse me, you'll answer them on a scale of 1 to 7. 1 to 7. I'm getting ahead of myself here. So the first test is fear of rejection. The first test is fear of rejection. The second test is the blame game. The second test is the blame game. The third test is the shame test, And the fourth and final test is fear of failure, Each one has 10 questions. You will be answering the questions on the scale of 1 to 7, 1 meaning always, 7 meaning never. 1 meaning always, 7, excuse me? Oh, I thought someone said something. 1 meaning always, 7 meaning never. Okay, and I those three individuals that said they didn't get the test, if you will forward your email to Elder Sharita, because it was sent from the emails that we have on file for you. So the email did not come from Elder Sharita. It came from Overseer. It came from PC underscore Thornton. But it was sent from the emails that we have on file. So if at the conclusion of this call you can forward those emails to Elder Sharita so that we can forward you this information and any upcoming information, that would be great. So what I am about to give you right now, I told you you're going to answer number 1 means always and number 7 means never. These are the varying places in between. You can make a note of that if you would like. 1 means always. 2 means very often. 3 means often. 4 means sometimes. 5 means seldom. 6 means very seldom. Let me repeat that. 1 means always. 2 means very often. 3 means often. 4 means sometimes. 5 means seldom. 6 means very seldom. And 7, never. That is the scale by which you will answer these questions. There are 10 questions for every test. I just want you to put on each one any number varying from 1 to 7. And at the end, I would like you to add them up. Are we ready for the first test?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Wonderful. The first test, again, is fear of rejection. Fear of rejection. The first question is, I avoid certain people. The second question, when I sense that someone might reject me, I become nervous and anxious. Let me repeat it. When I sense that someone might reject me, I become nervous and anxious. Third question. I am uncomfortable around those who are different from me. I am repeating it. I am uncomfortable around those who are different from me. Fourth question. It bothers me when someone is unfriendly to me. Fifth question. I am basically shy and unsocial. Sixth question. I am critical of others. I am critical of others. Seventh question. I find myself trying to impress others. I find myself trying to impress others. Eighth question. I become depressed when someone criticizes me. I become depressed when someone criticizes me. Ninth question. I always try to determine what people think of me. I always try to determine what people think of me. And the final question for the first test being fear of rejection. I don't understand people and what motivates them. I don't understand people and what motivates them. That's all 10 questions. You should have answered anywhere from 1 to 7. 1 meaning always, 7 meaning never. Did everyone add up their score?
Yeah, I'm doing it now.
You don't need to say your score out loud right now, but you have to have it added up. You should have at least 10 and not more than 70. Has everyone added up their score? Wonderful. Yeah. I would like everybody to text me their score. Text me their score to 773-779-2900. Again, 773-779-2900. If your answer would be for the fear of rejection, you can text me your score. We are moving to the blame game, the blame game. Again, it is the same grading scale, 1 being always, 7 being never. It is 10 questions. Are we ready? The blame game.
So what's your phone number again? That went a little fast for me. I'm sorry.
Not a problem. 773-779-2900. 773-779-2900.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, no problem. And we're going to start the blame game test now. Again, it is 10 questions. You're answering them 1 through 7. And the first question is, fear what God might do to me. I fear what God might do to me. Question number 2. After I fail, I worry about God's response. After I fail, I worry about God's response. Question number 3. When I see someone in a difficult situation, I wonder what he or she did to deserve it. When I see someone in a difficult situation, I wonder what he or she did to deserve it. Question number 4. When something goes wrong, I have a tendency to think that God must be punishing me. When something goes wrong, I have a tendency to think God must be punishing me. Question number 5. I am very hard on myself when I fail. I am very hard on myself when I fail. Question number six. I find myself wanting to blame people when they fail. I find myself wanting to blame people when they fail. Question number seven. I get angry with God when someone who is immoral or dishonest prospers. I get angry with God when someone who is immoral or dishonest prospers. Question number eight. I am compelled to tell others when I see them doing wrong. I am compelled to tell others when I see them doing wrong. Question number nine. I tend to focus on the faults and failures of others. I tend to focus on the faults and failures of others. Question number 10. God seems harsh to me. God seems harsh to me. And those are the 10 questions for the blame game. Please add them up. And again, you can text me your number. How's it going so far, people? Okay. You're silent. That's not one of the questions for you to write a score down by.
I was counting. It's going okay.
Oh, okay. We're still counting. I'm sorry. Is everyone still counting?
No, I'm not.
Done.
Okay, we're going to do the other two tests. I just wanted to give you all a few minutes, and then we will one moment, please. All right. Let's go to the shame test. The shame test. The first question. I often think about past failures or experiences of rejection. I often think about past failures or experiences of rejection. Question number two. There are certain things about my past which I cannot recall without experiencing strong, painful emotions, such as shame or anger or fear or guilt or grief. There are certain things about my past which I cannot recall without experiencing strong, painful emotions. Question number three. I seem to make the same mistakes over and over again. I seem to make the same mistakes over and over again. Question number four. There are certain aspects of my character that I want to change, but I don't believe I can ever successfully do so. I'm repeating it. There are certain aspects of my character that I would want to change, but I don't believe I can ever successfully do so. Number five, I feel inferior. Number six, there are aspects of my appearance that I cannot accept. Number seven, I am generally disgusted with myself. Number eight, I feel that certain experiences have basically ruined my life. Number nine, I perceive of myself as an immoral person. And finally, number 10, I feel that I have lost the opportunity to experience a complete and wonderful life. That's all 10 questions. Please take this time now to add them up. And again, you want to text me your numbers. Has everyone had the opportunity to add up their scores?
Give me 1 minute, Apostle.
No problem. Just let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Is everybody ready? Okay. I'm going to assume by people's silence that means yes. We're going to now start the final test, the fourth test, which is called the fear of failure. Again, there are 10 questions. You answer them 1 through 7, 1 meaning always, 7 meaning never. The first question for the fear of failure test is, because of fear, I often avoid participating in certain activities. Number two, when I sense that I might experience failure in some important area, I become nervous and anxious. Number three, I worry.
I worry. Oh, okay.
Number four, I have unexplained anxiety. Number five, I am a perfectionist. Number six, I am compelled to justify my mistakes. I am compelled to justify my mistakes. Number seven, there are certain areas in which I feel I must succeed. There are certain areas in which I feel I must succeed. Number eight, I become depressed when I fail. I become depressed when I fail. Number nine, I become angry with people who interfere with my attempts to succeed and as a result make me appear incompetent. Let me repeat that. I become angry with people who interfere with my attempts to succeed and as a result make me appear incompetent. And the last question, number 10, I am self-critical. I am self-critical.
This is Minister Brenda. Could you repeat number six, please?
Yes. I am compelled to justify my mistakes. I am compelled to justify my mistakes.
Well, that went downhill fast.
Hmm?
Oops.
Everybody have everything?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Now, what does that mean?
So what you're going to do is you're going to text to 773-779-2900 your numbers to all four tests. You're going to text me that today. You're going to text me that today. And on next week, we will revisit this along with some of, we will review what the answers reflect. In the meanwhile, what I want you to do is you have an assignment created for a time like this, not created for just for time, but for eternity. And you are responsible for identifying the date that you trusted Jesus as your Savior and the date that you trusted Jesus as Lord. That becomes important. I want you to revisit that, think about that. I want to talk about that today. As you have those dates, I didn't get them from everyone, and it becomes essential as we move forward. I want us to look at that because how we respond to those two answers is going to give direction to how we're going to respond to people in their process. Then I want to give you a series of scriptures. I want us to look at, in the time we have left, about four different scriptures. So first, I want the date that Jesus became Savior and the date that Jesus became Lord. I want to make sure that you did the search and you found the my identities in Christ and who I am in Christ and the put on and put off. You were responsible for doing all those things last week. Did anybody not have the opportunity to do that?
I didn't do the put on, put off. I answered the question, when did you trust him as your Savior and when did you trust him as your Lord?
So doing the, you didn't do
if for those individuals who may not have had the opportunity to look and put off, I need you to do that. I need you to do that. Probably one of the easier ways, well, I will tell you, is to do a search, but if not, to use Blue Letter Bible. And you can definitely get it in Blue Letter Bible. If you just type put on, put off, a pretty good list is going to come up that you can work from. If you do a search of My Identity in Christ, you're going to get some listings of My Identity in Christ, who I am in Christ, and who Christ is for me. So you're going to get some listings as it relates to that. And you want to have those because you want to be able to use them as your scriptural references as you begin to put together your Christ curriculum for those in crisis, your Christ curriculum for those in crisis. So is there anybody else that didn't have the opportunity to do it, or anybody that did have the opportunity? If nothing else, did everybody have the opportunity to do, I trusted Jesus as Savior on this day and as Lord on this day?
I think I did some stuff. I didn't know to send that to you. My mistake. I apologize. But I don't think
no,
I did
that's
the
fine. As long as
okay.
you did it, we can work with it.
Okay.
Wow.
Is there anybody on the line that didn't do it?
This is Minister Brenda. I didn't get that one. I thought the one of the assignments was Why Am I Angry with God?
That was everybody's assignment to write. Well, actually, it wasn't angry. It's Why Do I Hate God? Yes.
Yeah,
everyone
God.
Was
sorry,
responsible
yes.
for texting in that assignment.
Oh, I emailed that one in. Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. We're responsible for emailing. I'm sorry, I meant email.
Oh, okay.
And I have yours.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to catch up on the other one.
No problem. So people are responsible for turning in Why Do I Hate God? That needs to be emailed in. That needs to be emailed in. They are responsible for turning in the date Jesus became Savior and the date Jesus became Lord. You are responsible for having, your put on and put off list and your My Identity in Christ.
Okay.
Those were the assignments given for last week.
Okay.
So it'd be a little difficult to move on without that. However, you must have that for the class next week. So the date that you trusted Jesus as Savior and the date that you trusted Jesus as Lord becomes important because it's going to speak to you about the progression of Christ. It's going to speak to you about the progression of Christ. And as the Holy Spirit uses you to minister and to walk and do life with other people, sometimes we have unrealistic expectations of other people. And if we had the expectations of others for ourselves, we would see that we don't measure up to those expectations. So I want us to begin to look at how Christ has processed himself through our life. So those dates are important, okay? They're going to speak to that. As we reviewed the scriptures from last week, as we looked at quit being afraid of what others, stop worrying about what other people think about you. One of the things, as we looked at the scripture in, I believe it was Exodus, you were responsible for looking at what are some things that you have to put on and what are some things that you have to take off. And so you went through, you identified some of the names of God through this passage of scripture, and you begin to look, make sure that you yourselves are responding thoughtfully and truthfully so that you can have the expectations of others for how to respond. So as we look at these series of scriptures, they will empower you to be empowered by God to help other people respond from a place of truth. The scripture tells us in Psalms that he desires truth in the inward parts and in the hidden parts. He desires us to have to know wisdom. And so there is a place that truth has that we have to learn to be comfortable with. And the only way that happens, honestly, is that our flesh is daily, moment by moment, I'm crucified. So I definitely want us to begin to look at how we respond to people. Do we respond to people honestly? Do we respond to people out of fear? Are we more likely to avoid difficult people? Do we remain silent? Do we give the impression that we agree when we don't agree? We need to begin to look at that, because those speak volumes about some of the dysfunctions that are going on in us and or around us. And thus, that's some of the things going on with other people. So in order to be vessels of use for others, I believe there is a process in which we need to go through for cleansing and for restoration. And so these things become important so that we can point to that. We gave you some things that we're gonna look at, and so as you have taken the test, we want to make sure that we are not lying to ourselves. We are not lying to ourselves about ourselves. We want to make sure that we are not lying to ourselves about ourselves. And so oftentimes we have a self that we present to people, and then we have a self that we live with. And then we have a self that we meet in dark. And so we need to begin to make some assessments. John 8:31-32. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth is set us free. And so some of us don't live free in the totality of our existence, because there's a self that we present, and there is a self that we masquerade, and then there's a self that, you know, we try to keep hidden, deep, 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 deep down hidden, and or suppressed. And so we need to make sure that those personalities, how is that, the varying aspects of ourselves align up with each other and then align up with the Word. So that becomes something that we want to have the opportunity to look at and be honest about. And so we definitely want to get to a place where we stop lying to ourselves, that we allow the Spirit of truth, as John 16 tells us, to speak to us and speak through us. Yes, I'm just going to say to speak to us and speak through us. Okay, I still need to go on, so this is what I'm going to do. And remember, those individuals who didn't get the handout, if you can forward that your email addresses to Elder Sharita, if you can forward your email addresses to Elder Sharita, then we can send the information out from this location. Again, the information will not come from Elder Sharita. And so you're not looking for an email from Elder Sharita. The information will come from Overseer Paulette Thornton, which is pc_thornton@yahoo.com. So you want to make sure.
Could you repeat that, Bob?
Yes, ma'am. The email will come from. You do not send any work there. This is just where the email that you are going to be getting will come from. P as in Paul, as in Christ, @Thornton.com. @yahoo.com. I'm sorry. TC_Thornton@yahoo.com. You do not send anything to that email. That is the email that you will be receiving some documents for this session from. So I believe it was three of you who had not received anything. If you will send that, that will be wonderful.
I received it, Karma.
Okay, you did receive it. Great. Who was the other person that said they didn't? Was it Minister Brenda and Sister Loretta?
Yes, I just got it.
I didn't either. Pastor Deloach, I didn't receive it.
Pastor Deloach, you didn't, but who was the other person that didn't?
Minister
Loretta.
Brenda, I just got it.
Oh, you just got it. Wonderful. Perfect. So the only person that needs it is Pastor Deloach and Sister Loretta?
Right. I'll check my email and see if it's
right.
There.
Again, you want to, it would have come from a PC_Thornton@yahoo.com.
Okay. All righty.
And it was sent today around 12:47.
Two attachments.
Oh, okay, yes. Yeah. Wonderful. Two attachments. And Pastor Deloach, yeah, I see your email. I just don't know. Okay. Sister Loretta, when you text me your scores, if you text me your email address, that would be great.
Okay.
But yes, you definitely want to check your email that came from PC_Thornton@yahoo at about 12:45, 12:50 today. And the subject line, I believe, says search for significant resources. All right, so let's continue. I don't know, because it is 9:20. So one of your assignments are you going to make in your part of the curriculum for Christ is going to have a section called Soul Crisis Decrees. Soul, S-O-U-L, Crisis Decrees. And you're just going to begin to write some decrees that our ministers, first of all, based out of the word of the Lord. It has to be based out of scripture. That speaks to where people are at. So I need you all to write down these five scriptures. I want us to quickly pull them up. Matthew 4 and 4. I need somebody to get John 1:1-3. I need someone to get Psalms 107 and 20, Psalms 119 and 50, and Psalms 33 and 6. Do we have them?
Nope.
Matthew 4 and 4. John 1:1-3, Psalms 107 and 20, Psalms 107 and 20, Psalms 119 and 50, Psalms 119 and 50, and Psalms 33 and 6. Anybody have any of them?
Write them all down. Now I'm getting.
Mm-hmm. While you get them, I'm going to share these things with you. The word of the Lord says out of Psalms 41 and 4, Lord, be merciful unto me and heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. And then Psalms 23 and 3 says, he restores my soul. Psalms 41 and 4 again says, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. And Psalms 23 and 3 says, he restores my soul. We share those scriptures with you as you work to get the scriptures that I gave you, because there is a place where we're going to work on understanding the soul in the midst of this so that we can understand the place in which we people have been broken, the place in which people are hurting. And so I believe it becomes important that we realize, anybody have John 1, 1 through 3?
I have Psalms 33 and 6. Okay.
Anybody? Okay, wonderful. Anybody have John 1, 1 through 3? Okay, no problem. So it becomes important as we begin to look at the scripture and understand where trauma happens, where the experiences in our life, where they affect us and how they affect us. Where our woundedness takes place, because as the Holy Spirit begins to use you, what you will begin to see is that he will use you to minister to people and to their hurts and pains. And yet, the only thing, according to the word of the Lord, what has been around forever and what we know works is simply this. The word says, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word, which is Christ, and the Word was God, and the Word was God himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and come into existence through him, and without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. Now, that's the Amplified version, but simply it says, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was God, and it dwelt among us. So we need to understand that what we begin to heal, what we need to begin to speak is the word of God. Every decree that we will make during this process, as you put together the curriculum of Christ for those in crisis, as you put it together, whether you're writing them for children, whether you're writing them for elderly, whether you're writing them for those individuals who have been victims of dot, 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 whether you're writing them for singles or married people, whether you're writing them for leaders, those who have fallen from grace, doesn't matter the specific group you're writing for. According to John 1, 1 through 3, the Word has been in existence from the beginning, and the Word works. Who has John 107 and 20? Okay. So, Psalms 107 and 20 says he sent forth his word, and his word healed them and rescued them from the pit and from the destruction. He sent the word healed them and rescued them from the pit and from destruction. So in the beginning was the word, and the word works. We just have to work it. We have to use it. We have to implement it. And the word of the Lord tells us in Psalms, he says, look, I sent my word, and my word accomplished what I sent it to do. My word healed them, and then my word rescued and or delivered them from their places of brokenness. And so I want us to begin to see that progression. I want us to see that decree that the word existed before our scenario, So we don't have a scenario that there isn't word for, okay? It's our responsibility to send the word. So you all become the portals or the agents by which the Lord's word will be released, okay? Purple, we're all good.
I have Psalms 119.
Matthew, anybody have Matthew? Wonderful. Can you read it?
Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy. It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth. Message Bible.
I like that version. Yeah, oh, I was just okay. Oh, I like that version. So Jesus had been praying and fasting for 40 days. And when the enemy came to tempt him, his response was what, evangelist?
He quoted Deuteronomy. It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth.
He quoted the word. It is written. That becomes your theme for living from this day forward. It is written. The word works. In Jesus' deepest hours, he quoted what would have already been existed. Because instantly he quoted the Old Testament. I need you to see that. So under severe attack, what he does is he uses the word. The word works. You need to empower people to use the word, okay? Who has Psalms 33 and 6?
I do.
Psalms 119 and 15.
Okay, I'm coming to that last. Who has Psalms 33 and 6?
It's from the Amplified. It says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all their hosts by the breath of his mouth.
I want you all decrees to be the very breath of the mouth of God. Everything that exists in the world, the Bible said, the word of God says, came via the breath of the mouth of God. His breath is the healing that we need. So we're going to do our breath prayers, okay? Our breathing exercise. When we're breathing out and breathing in, it's just some things we need to breathe in the word of God. We need to get in the word of God so we can breathe out all of the toxicity of negative thoughts and negative words. And so the word of the Lord said, look, everything that existed was made by God and hosted by God and came as a result of his very breath. And so if it created, then it can recreate, and all we have to do is use the word of God to recreate. And somebody said they had Psalms 119 and 50.
Yes, ma'am, I have 119 and 50.
Please read it.
I'm reading it out of the Message Bible. Mine says, these words hold me up in bad times. Yes, your promise rejuvenates me. It comes out the Message Bible.
Amen. If there's going to be a resuscitation, if there's going to be a revival, it is going to come from the word of God. Your words revive me. Your words resuscitate me. Your words restore and give me life. These are the kind of decrees that we are going to make in people's first in our own process, but then in people's process, so that we can live emotionally and spiritually, relationally healthy, productive, fruitful lives, so that we can have fruit that remains. All right, any questions, comments, concerns? I know that it is 9:30. Somebody said they have a question?
Yes, ma'am. I want to make sure that I'm getting my homework correct. I'm supposed to. I know I didn't do Why Do I Hate God? And what are we supposed to do with the put on, put off? What are some
you need to look
to
it up and get
and take off.
Let's make sure everybody has the put on, put off list, and everybody has the my identity in Christ, who I am, and my identity in Christ. You need to search it and have it accessible and available.
Who I am and my identity. In Christ. So those are two sheets that I hope to send to you, right? Homework.
No, you're not sending them to me. You're getting them. You're searching the internet. You're obtaining them, and you're going to use them as a reference.
But I do sing you Why Do I Hate God, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Apostle, when you said put on, put off, get the put on, put off sheet, give an example of scripture to find what was created, and then the false declarations that we've made and passed on to others, those are all based on the put-ons and put-offs.
The put-on and put-off is just a resource that you can use to generate or populate those answers. Yes.
Okay.
And we can get the put-on, put-off list from...
tool to use. I'm sorry, go on.
And the put-off, put-on list is found in the Blue Letter Bible.
There is one found in the Blue Letter Bible. So, excuse me, if you go to Blue Letter Bible, you can pull up their list. There are other lists that are out there. So if you just do a Google search for put on, put off, it should come up. But there's a pretty extensive one in the Blue Letter Bible, and it's full of scriptures.
It has 78 of them, Apostle, because I printed it from the
Wonderful. You
the
need
blue
it.
Letter Bible.
Everybody needs one. And probably the more that they have, it may make it easier for you as you create the one that the Lord needs you. There's some things that you're going to discover as we do this that he wants you to put on, and there's some things he wants you to put off. And you're going to need scriptural reference for it. So that's just a phenomenal example of how your assignment will go. Anybody else have any questions, comments, or concerns? No? Oh my God, you guys have been wonderful. I am so excited about this journey. I need you all to do your life work. I need you all to do your life work so that we come on next week. We can kind of hit it. We will open up with reviewing your test. We will open up with reviewing your test. And so please make sure that you text me your four totals for the four tests. And we will go over what those mean. And we will go from there, all right? Wonderful.
Okay.
Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
All right.
Good night.
I'll text them to you, all right, Apostle.
No problem. No problem. I'll
okay.
see it when I get that, when I get the phone. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.